House Bill 1122, an act to clarify that agents for property owners may make certain deductions from gross receipts.
House Bill 1122, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Weck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, House Bill 1122 comes to us because of audits that were made and changes that happened because of audits, and actually in the intent of the bill is to avoid double taxation, the double taxation of services and products where taxes have already been paid on the initial purchase, and to avoid the taxes on non-taxable items. You've got three handouts. Two of them are letters and one is a graph. And what's happened in the past, in 1991, the property manager, one of the property managers, and this goes to all of them before it's done, but Roger Novotny, who used to be director of sales and use tax, explained that what the property owners were doing with the way they taxed, paid the taxes on the goods, didn't collect the tax on that portion that was billed to the owners of the buildings, and but all the management fees were taxed. Explained that that was correct, and property managers currently are paying for supplies, equipment, and contract labor and pay tax on those. The benefits, salaries, advertising, insurance are non-taxable items. The areas of salaries raised concern that managers can hire people. Managers can hire plumbers and electrical contractors. The tax is being paid on those items as well. The Department of Revenue has done an audit and in a pass-through for those costs and expenses from the owner to the property manager has now ruled that that's taxable. And that's double taxation. What this bill will do is eliminate that double taxation and ensure that all of these people that are managers will not have to change their entire bookkeeping systems and their billing processes, because if they would do that, they would also be able to avoid these taxes. It makes things a whole lot easier for everybody in the long run, because in the process, property managers in some cases hire people that work in several different buildings under several different owners. And as long as they're hiring these people and they're paying them full-time wages for working for them, they also put them into things like 401ks, provide them with health insurance and so forth. And if we allow what the Department of Revenue has done to continue, these people would end up being put off instead and working part-time for different places. They would no longer qualify for any of the benefits that they're presently getting, and it would tax that. So what we're trying to do is protect both the managers and the employees of those companies so that they continue with those benefits. I would request your favorable vote on House Bill 1122 to protect both the managers and the employees of those managers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wick. Are there any further remarks? Representative Galinsky.
It's kind of interesting to point out that this was not a problem up until recently, when the Department of Revenue decided to audit several of these business managers and property manager type organizations. If they do pay taxes on those things that they buy for the owner, they pay the sales tax on that. What the Department of Revenue wants to do is to collect the sales tax a second time when the owner reimburses them for their expenses. I think that's the most unfair way to treat people. Bad enough to get taxed once, and all of us do, but to get taxed twice for the same thing just plain isn't fair.
Are there any further remarks? Representative Nordstrom.
I sit on the committee that this came through, and I've got some real issues with it, and I'll try to share those with you. On page 1, lines 7 and 8, it says, the property owners may deduct from gross receipts amounts that represent charges for items purchased by the agent on behalf of any property owner. What that means is when the management company goes down to Ace Hardware and buys a hammer or a can of paint or some other thing that they might buy at Ace Hardware, they don't want to get double taxed on it. They don't want to buy it from Ace Hardware and pay tax and then sell it to the owner of the building and pay tax. There's a simple solution for that. It's the same solution all other businesses use to avoid that. It's called a not-for-resale certificate. You go into Ace Hardware, you say, here's my not-for-resale certificate. Please do not sales tax me on this transaction. They don't want to do that. They say it's too complicated, I think is their explanation. They're able to take those, say for example, they go in and buy 5 gallons of paint, and a gallon goes on this apartment, and a half a gallon goes here, and a 2 gallons goes over here, and a half a gallon gets thrown away. They still invoice that, and as they invoice it, they should charge sales tax. When they pick it up, they should not pay sales tax because of the not-for-resale certificate. That's one issue. So I think that's a manageable thing, and they can manage that problem just like all other businesses who buy products and sell products manage them. Imagine you own a candy company, and you buy 5 gallons of hard candy. You got to decide how to... You do not pay sales tax on it when it comes in. You do pay sales tax on it when it goes out. Same story. I'll go to the second issue that I've got heartburn with. On page 2, line 1, it says they will, the company, the property management company, will be able to deduct wages, salaries, payroll taxes, payroll deductions, workers' comp, insurance premium, welfare benefits, retirement benefits, and other employee benefits for employees of the agent. So you've got two companies, and one company is charging the other company for doing a service. Everybody in the universe of South Dakota pays sales tax on that transaction. When two companies charge, I used to own a computer company. If I come out to your place and fix your computer and charge you $100, I had to pay sales tax on that. It's the same thing. Two companies charging sales tax on labor. The last issue that I've got with this bill is in line 6. It talks about here are the people that are exempt. It says if you manage property, you're exempt from this sales tax. If you manage hotels, you're exempt. If you manage restaurants, you're exempt. Wait a minute, where'd restaurants come from? Why restaurants? Why should they be exempt from sales tax? This bill would like to do is subtract expenses and then pay sales tax. There's a name for that. That's called income tax. This is not an income tax. This is a sales tax. You do not, in sales tax, the way it's currently recognized in South Dakota, you do not get to deduct expenses before paying sales tax. Here's some examples of people. This is a loophole that we can drive a fleet of trucks through. An example, if I own a lawn service company, why can't I participate in this too? Well, the reason is because my name isn't on the bill. But next year, the lawn service companies, which are managing the lawn, will come in and say, me too. There's a whole long list of companies. Why can't you manage a gas station and get to subtract your expenses before you pay sales tax? Why these three industries? The three industries are if you manage property, if you manage a hotel, if you manage a restaurant. There are other industries that deserve the same benefit. If we want to get rid of sales tax and go to an income tax, we should vote on that. But this isn't the way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nordstrom. Are there any further remarks? Representative Dykstra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for Representative Wick, please.
State your question.
Representative Wick, can you explain this fiscal note to me that we've received in our desks today?
Representative Wick, if you wish to answer.
I can answer part of the question. I can't answer all of it. Never before in our history has a fiscal note been put on anybody's desk without a name on it. And this has been put out. I have no idea how it got out. But I am glad it's there because I think everybody should know what the fiscal note is telling you. Number one, it's telling you that the lawsuits that are going, or the audits that are going on right now, point to about $900,000 that could be collected from several people that manage large apartment complexes, restaurants, and the like. The high end of the note, the 4.7, is a wag, and I have to say that for somebody I really trust a whole lot, it's the wildest guess I've ever seen in my life, and I think it's something pulled out of the air like somebody reaching into a haystack and trying to find a needle. And he picked out an extremely large number, like if we audit everybody in the state in the next 5 years, we might come up with that many dollars. But it's all double taxation dollars. What unfortunately happened is our person in the and the Legislative Research Council picked the middle of that. He took the middle of the two and said, that's what it'll cost. It's money that has never been collected, and it never will be collected, because if this bill doesn't pass, everybody's going to change the way they do their books anyway to avoid it. But what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do with this, is to make sure that we don't have to change the books and the bookkeeping process for these companies, so that these employees can stay where they are with the benefits they have, so that they don't get dropped out and become part of their kids, our CHIPS program as an example, because they have insurance programs, they have 401ks, they have benefits. And if we don't continue the program, we're going to end up with them in our lap, because every one of those people are going to be part-time workers that won't have any benefits when they're done. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dykstra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the issue here is getting confused a little bit. What's happened here is that these companies have relied since 1991 on a revenue letter with a revenue opinion, which has told them clearly that the way they've been treating this is the way they should be treating it. There can't be a fiscal impact here from this event, because this never been collected before. And there won't be a fiscal impact in the future for the state, because by restructuring their companies, these property companies can find other ways, cumbersome ways, but still effective ways of restructuring those processes, so that the tax will still never be collected. So the impact, in my opinion, would be nil in either case. But what is a fact is that it will have an impact on the companies themselves, which will have to take on additional costs, additional reporting, and create separate companies throughout this process. Look, it's not a matter of anybody trying to avoid anything that's payable and due. It's a case of companies who are employing people and paying the taxes on the goods that they use in their business, and charging sales tax on their services, trying to recognize that they've paid the tax once. They don't need to be paying sales tax on their Social Security FICA deductions. They don't need to be paying sales tax a second time on the same prices that they've already done. So I would strongly urge the body to favorably consider this bill.
Are there any further remarks? Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Speaker, I would ask for a point of order.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, you heard on the House floor Representative Wick say something about no name being on the document, and he's correct on that. What I would ask, if there would be a ruling with regard to the officialness of this document. The document indeed does come from the South Dakota Legislative Research Council. Although there is no House member's name on it, I want to be sure that we don't think that this is a document that may not be legitimate. And I hope I'm making myself clear. I know the rules here. If I put a document on your desk, ladies and gentlemen, as a House member, I should attach my name to it, regardless if it comes from Webster's Dictionary or any other thing. I should put my name on it. This document does not have that on there, and I don't want it to be seen as an illegitimate document. And I did this without talking to Representative Wick, but when I heard his comment, I want to be sure we're correct on this. So I would ask, Mr. Speaker, if there could be a ruling, or at least some time to talk about what we might be getting.
Representative Putnam, you will get a ruling, but just so that everybody here feels comfortable with the ruling, I'm going to pass the gavel.
Well, if it's not in my favor, Mr. Speaker, I'll hand it over to my vice chairman then.
Don't worry, I'll take you both on.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Actually, ladies and gentlemen who are watching and listening on the internet, the discussion is about a rule that we have on the floor here that no member or individual can distribute anything on the floor without having it indicating who distributed it. It's a significant rule. It is not violated lightly, and in fact, I deal with that very often. In this situation, although it is not unusual, it has occurred in the past. This fiscal note was distributed by our team up front because a number of questions were asked. So it is an LRC document. It is a public document. Its distribution doesn't need to have an indication of somebody who distributed it, unless, of course, in my case, Representative Michaels put his name on it. So it would be no different than a bill being distributed or an amendment being dropped by LRC. That is the same as the legislature. By the same token, at this time, the fiscal note would be read before you voted anyway. So I think, in fairness, the ruling is it's much ado about nothing. Figure out if there are facts or not, and we'll be reading that at the time. The point of order is noted. The distribution was in compliance with our rules.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Putnam, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the opportunity to bring this up, and we'll proceed from here. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Norfstrup speaks a second time? Representative Norfstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question.
There's hundreds of industry categories. Maybe thousands of industry categories. In this bill, a special privilege has been conveyed to three of those categories, to the property managers, to the restaurant managers, and to the hotel managers. This has not been, this same privilege has not been extended to lawn service companies that manage a lawn, or computer companies that come in and manage a complete network within your business. Why are these three businesses, these three industries, different from thousands of or hundreds of other businesses? What makes them unique?
Representative Wick, do you wish to answer the question?
I'll try, because I don't see them being in the same kind of business necessarily, because the lawn service provider isn't going to take his lawnmower or his gasoline or his shear trimmer or anything else and buy it, pay the tax on it, and leave it with the homeowner. He's going to leave the property. When he's done, he's going to take it home with him. So I don't see that as one that fits. And I guess maybe what I should say is there are tax regulations currently in place that exempt reimbursements of all types of business from gross receipts subject to sales tax. And according to State Regulation 6406.01.58, reimbursements are exempt where ownership of the property or service purchased by the person receiving the reimbursement passed directly and immediately upon purchase to the person making the reimbursement. And the person who made the reimbursement is legally liable for the payment to the seller of the property or services. Part of this, I would say, comes down to a point of where's the liability? And the liability stays with the owner for anything that doesn't get paid for. And if you have somebody doing your lawn that doesn't pay for the gas, they aren't going to be able to come back to the person that contracts for the yard work to go get the payment for the gas if it wasn't paid for. Department has taken a position on audit that the property owner is not legally liable for payment to the seller of the property or services for which reimbursement is sought, notwithstanding the terms of the property management agreements. And I hope that helps to answer the question at least a little bit.
Representative Norfstrup, you have the floor.
Thank you, Representative Wick.
Are there any further remarks? Hearing none, The question before the House of Representatives is final passage of House Bill 1122. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members shall proceed to vote.
O'Brien votes aye.
While we are voting, on behalf of Representatives Bradford and Valandra, please welcome the 8th grade and student council from Rocky Ford, their teachers Gail Ludens, Linda Saddlemeyer, and Steve Chase. I believe they're in the back. Would you please stand?
Representative Peterson. Representative Peterson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 52, nays 16.
House Bill 1122, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed agreed to.